This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me for another hour of old-time radio crime. Our first story this week is from the adventures of Philip Marlowe. It's The Fine Italian Hand, his story from November 5th, 1949. After that, it's Box 13 and The First Letter, their episode from August 22nd, 1948.
Get this and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road, and those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison of the grave. There was a broken body in a quiet house. Gunplay on a merry-go-round at midnight, and a boy and a girl in love running away, all because of one man's fine Italian hand.
From the pen of Layman Chandler, outstanding author of crime fiction, comes his most famous character in The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. Now, with Gerald Moore, starring as Philip Marlowe, we bring you tonight's exciting story, The Fine Italian Hand.
The day just passed has been full of jarring contrasts, laughter hiding heartbreak. A woman dying of loneliness in an overcrowded city. A man who sacrificed everything to make a fortune and shot himself when he got it. The messed up byproducts of our hopped up civilization. The thought of them stayed in my mind as I drove over the freeway to San Fernando Valley because the job I was on promised no change in the day's pattern of combining things that didn't belong together. When I parked at the corner of Magnolia and Van Nuys Boulevard, I was still trying to reconcile my new client, the owner and operator of a little amusement park for children, with a panicky voice on the phone that had begged me to come at once. It wasn't hard to spot. A heavy-set old man moving among the stampeding merry-go-round stallions and picking crumpled tickets like plums from the fists of laughing kids grabbing for brass rings. We never change, do we? When he saw me, he hopped off.
Nick, take off of me.
You, Mr. Marlowe, maybe?
That's right, Mr. D'Angelo.
Oh, Mr. Marlowe, come this way to my little office. All right. We gotta talk right away. No time to waste. Oh, that's nice, little boy. I'm very proud of you. Now, you take your free ride with Nick. I gotta talk to some of business. Goodbye. Come in, Mr. Marlowe. Please, sit down.
Thanks.
Mr. Marlowe, I'm a very worried man.
Yeah, I know. About your son, you said on the phone. What sort of trouble is he in, Mr. D'Angelo?
He's a good boy, my Bernardo. He's been to college. He's a veteran from the war with two bronze stars and a purple heart. Look, there's his picture in his uniform. He's a good boy.
Sure, sure. Now he's in a jam, is that it?
Yeah. He's in a jam with a gambler. Man named Safran. You know this man?
Yeah, slightly. Frank Safran's a bad boy. Did your son owe him money or what?
No. My boy not throw his money away like that. No. It's about a girl.
Oh. Which way does it go? She's Saffron's girl and Bernardo's making a play for her?
That's right. This girl belonged to the gambler and my boy's taking her out.
Oh, fine.
He won't tell me nothing. I find out just the same. Maybe he's just playing the big shot. And maybe he really loses his heart. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's gone too far. Now, there's a trouble. My boy's going to be killed, or he's going to kill somebody. And I don't know what to do.
What makes you think it's gone that far, Mr. D'Angelo? Maybe Saffron will just get Seth and scare Bernardo off, huh?
Scare off? No, Mr. Marlowe. My boy gonna scare off. He's a pretty tough. He's a champion with the golden glove.
Really?
Yes. But tonight, better no help for him. Bernardo come home tonight with his face all beat up. He won't tell his papa nothing. All he says is that the red-faced dog, I'm going to get even. I'm going to kill him. He's just a crazy man. My Bernardo, he won't listen to me. He pushed me away and he go out again.
Red face. Doesn't fit that one. You sure he was the one who had your son beat up?
Oh, sure, of course. Who else?
Mm.
And just because of this dancer, this Paula. I don't even know her last name.
Paula, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think I can do about this, Mr. D'Angelo?
Chase Bernardo down and bring him home?
No, that's no good. My Bernardo, he's too headstrong. No, Mr. Marlowe, I must find out something. I must find out if this girl is using my boy for a plaything or if she's really in love with him.
What difference does that make with Teflon?
Well, if this girl really loves my boy, then I'd do anything to bring them together. Anything. Now, if this is only a game she plays, then...
What does that mean, Pop?
Oh, that means if it goes that way, that's the way it goes. Uh-huh. And I know what I got to do. So you find out this for me, please.
Well, I don't know, Pop. It's not the kind of thing I like.
Look, I know I asked you to spy on somebody. Just to find out for me, please. I can't talk so good. With you, it's not so hard.
I know, Pop, but really...
Please. My boy's mama died, and now Bernardo's all I got left. He's a good boy. He should not get into trouble just for a cheap game of love. Don't you understand me?
I understood him. And from what I knew of Frank Saffron, he had plenty to worry about with a hot-headed son who didn't know when to quit. Or maybe it was Saffron who didn't know when to quit. That thought, plus the $50 in advance, sold me. Mr. D'Angelo gave me a description of the girl he'd seen, but once told me that Bernardo had moved away from home, he didn't know where. That the park closed at 10 and that he'd be there all night, and that was all. My first step was to locate the dancer named Paula. So outside, I fed nickel to a phone until I called everything from ballet to burlesque, but got no Paula, which left only Frank Saffron's Easy Money Mill. It was a ranch house, California style, tucked under the hills south of Ventura, on a dead end called Sunburst. After I got the nod at the peekaboo window, I wandered through the bar and past the dice table to the door at back marked private and went in. A tuxedoed rock pile with a boy of lobster complexion frowned up at me from the telephone as he talked and waggled a thick, hairy finger. So I took the hint and waited quietly for him to finish.
I'll do the whole thing over again. I don't care if it takes you a week. This joint don't soak up no 5 grand shortages. You guys find it. Goodbye. Well, what's on your mind, Kutz? I don't seem to remember you being announced.
It isn't a formal call. I'm just looking for an old friend.
We don't have any old friends to spare, Toots.
That figures. Mine's Paula. She's a dancer. I understand that Mr. Saffron knows her quite well. You might tell me where I can get in touch with her, huh?
So you're a friend of Paula Baker's, huh?
Yeah, that's right. From way back.
Well, that's all, Toots. You're through. Her name's not Baker. That came right out of thin air. Now, what do you really want?
Take it easy, boy. She's just cagey with last names, that's all. She gave us Jones.
Who's that?
The Duncan Department Store, credit section. $300 worth. I got this far in her references, and I want to see Mr. Saffron.
Well, he's not in. I'll take it up with him later. If it's worth his time, you'll hear from him.
Take it easy on yourself, Max. Just tell me where I can find it.
Out that door there. You got the whole city to look in. And take your crummy business
away.
Hey,
okay, you're getting pushy.
Hey. Hey, blushing boy. One thing more. What's your name? I want to get it straight.
Wasn't a total loss. I'd managed to keep the back door open long enough to snap off the night latch. And I'd met the red-faced man who no doubt supervised the beating Bernardo had taken earlier. I kicked plenty of noise out of the iron steps going down, and then I crossed the parking lot, leaned back against the wall, and waited. Halfway through, my first cigarette, Bunker came out, got in his car, and drove away. I watched him out of sight, then slipped back in quietly, located Saffron's 8x12 desk, and started through it. In the top drawer, I found first a letter with the gambler's home address on it. And under that, a picture. One of smiling lovelies posed in front of a dance studio on Wilshire. She wore Paula's description like a snug pair of slacks, and dance instruction was a field in the fine art of hoofing that I'd overlooked completely. I closed the drawer and started out when I heard someone coming. I jammed my cigarette into the ashtray and ducked back against the doorframe as the cleaning woman bustled in.
Smoldering cigarette butts. No wonder this trap don't burn to the ground. Hey, somebody's been in here.
Hold it quiet, baby. Shut up and I'll let you have some air again. Is it a deal? Okay.
Hey, you don't belong here, mister.
Neither do you, beautiful. Let's forget we saw each other, huh?
Look, I'm a trusted employee here.
Silence is golden.
How golden?
$5 worth. And if I hear one peep out of you before I get out of here, I'll come back someday and put glue in your soap bottle. Goodbye, baby. The dance studio is pleasantly glossy from its ultra-modernistic facade on Wuxia Boulevard to its far from old-fashioned receptionist inside, who signed me up, expressed sympathy over my rusty rumber, and assured me that since I'd heard so much about her, I could have Paula, that is, Miss Calvin, while on duty as my instructor, if I'd only be so kind as to step this way. So I stepped this way, into a ballroom with a black burnished floor that looked as deep as the night sky, and after a deft hand signal from the receptionist, Paula Calvin glided toward us. Introductions were made.
How do you do?
And suddenly, the room was filled with the soft beat of a rumba band, and we were off. Rusty or not, it would have been fun if I hadn't had work to do. That part was tough.
You're doing beautiful, Mr. Marlowe. Just loosen up now and relax, huh?
Yeah, I'll try. I'm glad I drew you as my instructor, Miss Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie said you were top. Told me to insist on you and accept no substitute.
Bernie?
Uh-huh. D'Angelo. You remember him, don't you?
Yes. Yes, of course, I remember him.
Nice guy, Bernie. Good kid. Don't you think so?
Keep your feet a little closer together, Mr. Marlowe. Don't be afraid to use your knees.
You know, baby, Bernie's got everything. Look, brains, even a temper, just to keep life interesting. Isn't that right, Paula? Guy thinks a lot of you, doesn't he? Hey, I'm talking to you.
I heard you. The next question, I suppose, is how do I feel about him?
Yeah. Now it's your turn to loosen up and relax, baby.
Listen, I resent being checked up on by anybody. When I want Bernie D'Angelo to know how I feel, I'll tell him. And when I want Frank Saffron to know, I'll tell him, too. If you came here tonight for a Roomba lesson, then I'm old Mother Hubbard.
Okay, Mother Hubbard. I want to find out one thing. Are you in love with Bernie D'Angelo?
That's nobody's business but mine, mister.
You could be real wrong about that, baby.
Then it's my mistake and I'll make it all by myself, huh?
Have you seen Bernie tonight?
No, I haven't. And that's all the conversation you get. You can have the rest of your Roomba if you want it.
No, thanks. I'll see you around, Paula. The next best bet for finding what my client wanted was a talk with Saffron. I stopped and called his gambling client, but he was still out. So I drove up into Coldwater Canyon at number 8100. The first real hint that something was wrong was a curtain dangling at a crazy angle over one of the lighted windows. Next up was the front door, standing 6 inches open, and inside, the legs of an overturned table sticking up in the air, and then pieces of a broken lamp littering the floor. That was only the beginning. I nudged the door open and stepped in. It was a mess. I saw his feet first and behind the couch. It only took one glance at his face. Frank Saffron had been literally beaten to death by a pair of very fast, very deadly fists.
Don't move one inch, Jocko.
Do I take three guesses or turn around and look? Bernardo with gun.
Oh, I got it all right. It was his. Automatic, caliber 45, and I'll use it if I have to. Who are you?
Name's Marlowe.
One of Saffron's boys?
You got a real talent for being wrong, haven't you, kid?
Who are you?
A private detective hired by one Ambrosio D'Angelo.
Papa?
Yeah. Because he was worried sick about his boy.
But I told him to stay out of it. I told him it was my business.
And you did a nice, thorough job of handling it. You did this, didn't you?
Yeah. Saffron had it coming to him. I was beat up tonight on his orders. I came here to pay him back, but I didn't intend to kill him.
What'd you stick around for?
I didn't stay
around. He looked to me like he's been dead over an hour.
I left, then I got worried, and I came back just a few minutes
ago.
Yeah,
I know. You found out he was dead, huh? Well, I guess I better call
the police. You better stand still. If you're really working for my old man, if you really want to help him, the best thing you can do is to get out of here and shut up about this until tomorrow morning.
I don't work that way, kid. I'm going to call your old man and the police. And we're going to sit here until they show up.
You won't give me a break.
Not that kind. If you run, you haven't got a chance.
We'll just have to see about that. I'm sorry it turned out this way, but it didn't. I got a lot of things to do. So take your ethics, Marlowe, and sleep on them.
Oh, Bernie, wait, don't run. Come back.
in just a moment the second act of Philip Marlowe. But first, with thousands of dollars of wonderful prizes, Sing It Again is fun for the whole family to play. Make a date to listen over most of these CBS stations every Saturday night. Now, with our star, Gerald Moore, we return to the second act of Philip Marlowe and tonight's story, The Fine Italian Hand.
Some water on my face and wobbled over to the telephone that was spilled across the floor near Frank Saffron's broken body. It was too late to do anything more constructive than call my client, and before he heard it from the police, tell him what his boy, Bernardo, had been up to. The kind of job I'd have given at least an eye tooth to get out of. So when I dialed his number and got no answer, I was glad, even though it didn't quite figure that the elder at the end wouldn't be in. Now there was absolutely nothing to do but call the police or...
Get away from that phone.
I'll pay attention to a man who just stepped into the room. A man with a red face who also held a gun in hand.
Oh, well, the department store, Dick. That's how he gets around. Or is it just that Frank's last name was Jones, too?
You're overworking a bum joke. Also, I didn't do this.
And who did? And how do you figure in around here and over at the club? Come on, smart guy, let's level. First, who are you? The name?
Marlowe.
And the trade?
Private detective.
Hired by who? Come on, let's not pull teeth. Who are you working for, Marlowe?
Quiet old guy named D'Angelo. There's nothing worse than running a merry-go-round for kids. Mean anything?
Quiet old guy D'Angelo. Yeah, that must be the punk's old man, huh? Which means that the kid, Bernie, must have done this, right?
Yeah, he did it. But only after he got cut up this afternoon by the late Mr. Saffron here, or representative.
That's not me, Rover boy. I never messed in Frank's private life anymore than I could help.
Which means what?
That I tagged Bernie D'Angelo one night to a flat he has over on Lancashire near Moore Park.
Flat in Lancashire. What number?
I don't know. The first house off the corner of Moore Park on the south side. He just moved in. Well, what's the difference, what now? Don't move, Marlowe, or I'll knock you flatter in that handkerchief.
What handkerchief?
That one by the body.
Oh, yeah. With the initials...
D.A.
The apostrophe A is in D'Angelo. That does it. Okay, Buster, put away the house. I'll leave quietly.
For where?
For a crack at that flat in Lancashire near Moore Park, south side.
Why?
So that if the kid's still around, I can stop him without calling the cops. And only rattle him into losing his grip altogether.
Which would mean lots of firepower and the kid sooner or later dead in the gutter. What's wrong with that?
A couple of things. But in particular, what it might do to him.
Yeah, I know. A nice old guy who runs a merry-go-round for kids. Nuts. So long, sucker. How it's his lord. Beat it before I start crying.
Bernie D'Angelo's flat on Lancashire turned out to be second floor rear and all that went with it. From the stout landlady to the very public payphone to the faint line of naked, unfrosted light bulbs, too weak to disturb the shadows in the corridor. Plus, of course, the unhappy marriage of a half a dozen distinct cooking odors sneaking out of the transoms of his many rooms, where cooking was strictly prohibited. Bernie had room 9 at the end of the L-shaped hall. And when I turned and started for his door, I was glad to see yellow light oozing out of the cracks. And to hear a tinny phonograph making not-so-grand grand opera. When I knocked, I did it with the barrel of my .38.
Yeah? Who is it?
Connick! You better turn that phonograph down. We can't hear ourselves think out here.
Okay, I'll take care of it. Goodbye.
Not so fast, Junior. Take care of it now. I don't want to have to come out here again. It'll make me feel nasty. Does that come across?
Yeah, real clearance.
Marlowe. Yeah, Marlowe, get back all the way.
Got it. Quit shoving.
Hold.
Quit shoving. What do you want with me?
Conversation for a starter. Turn that thing off. Now we're going to talk, Bernie.
About what? About my old man again. That's a waste of time. What's done is done, Marlowe. You know that.
Yeah, and I also know you'll never get any place running.
Unless we try real hard. Don't turn around, Marlowe.
Oh, fine. Madame Lazanga.
Take his gun, Bernie. Throw it over there.
Yeah. If you please, Mr. Connor. How stupid did you think we were, Marlowe? Or have you forgotten all about Paula here?
No, I hadn't forgotten. Just figured she might be on the other side.
Then you figured wrong because there's never been any other side. Never been anybody but Bernie from the moment we met.
Which is why you kept dating Frank Saffron?
Which is exactly why I kept dating Frank Saffron. I didn't want him jealous and gunning for Bernie. I didn't want trouble.
Now that you got it, you don't want to let it go, is that it?
What do you mean, Marlowe?
Yeah, I mean if you turn yourself in now tonight, there's still a chance you'll get off easy.
Yeah, and a better chance that he won't.
All right. But even then, it'll only be manslaughter, prison for a few years.
This way, it's got to be worse. Hide and seek from here on out for both of you, right up to the end. No matter when that is.
Look, honey, maybe...
No maybes, Bernie. I don't want you rotting away in jail and me rotting away on the outside because you accidentally killed Frank Saffron. Now, come on, Bernie. Let's get out of here. Put him in this closet here.
Yeah, sure. Hey, look, Marlo, if you do go back to Pop, tell him I wish it had been different, will you?
Why? So he can eat his heart out a little more? No dice, kid. Shut the door. The sight of you is making me sick.
Okay, fella. Shut it in. And shut it soon.
Bess had been swinging wild, hoping that a lucky punch, no matter how low, would connect and jar some sense back into the kid. But it had played differently, and as I started to kick the lock on the closet door, I knew now that Bernie D'Angelo resented me and probably his father along with the rest of the world. It wouldn't give him an even break. All in all, it was the kind of thing that made me mad enough to do the trick!
Well, that's a fine way to treat a house. What's the matter? Handsome or fight over the girl, or don't you like the way the furniture's arranged? Which?
Neither. Before you get too upset about this landlady, I'll cut you in on something. A minute after I get to your phone, every cop in town is going to be looking for your star boarder. Because tonight, Bernie D'Angelo killed a man.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the stuff you've wrecked. Come on, handsome, let's settle up. There's one splintered door and a lot of little pieces that used to be a vase. That broken box over there with them papers in it ain't mine. So it's no charge.
Okay, how much do you want?
How much? Well, 30 with the vase. $30 in all. Well, handsome, what is it? What you staring at?
Hmm? Oh, this slip of paper here. Fell out of the box.
You sold a lot of other papers. Can't hurt you. It's only a receipt. What's the fuss?
Because it is a receipt, Granny, from of all places a department store. A receipt for a present delivered a long time ago.
What?
Yeah, it's got to be. All right, Granny, here. 30, you said, huh? Mm-hmm. 10, 20, 25, 30. $30. And if I'm right, sweetheart, I'll send you another vase come Christmas. Now, forget what I said about the phone and Bernie's being a killer. Because a mistake may have been made all the way around.
What kind of mistake? Handsome?
A big one, a beaut. And I can't be more specific than that until I find the elder Mr. D'Angelo. Good night, Granny. By midnight, the San Fernando Valley is always sound asleep. So I covered the 5 miles back to the amusement park in close to as many minutes, worrying all the way that either my hunch was wrong and I was heading no place, or that it was right and I was too late to keep murder from happening again. When I was out of my car and moving quietly in between the dark machines that stopped being gay, bobbing animals when the kids were gone, I knew that I could quit worrying altogether. Because standing ahead, in close to the merry-go-round, was Mr. Ambrosio D'Angelo. And opposite him, holding a gun that I'd already seen once tonight, was Lou Bunker, the man I figured had killed Frank Saffron. And when I was within a dozen yards of him,
stop far enough. Stop right where you are and turn around.
Why? So you can hit me over the back of the head and kill me like it was accident, huh? I fall in the dark while I work on the merry-go-round, huh? Pretty smart guy, mister. That way, no Ambrosio D'Angelo to testify that you killed Frank Saffron. No, my boy, Bernard.
Turn around and quit yapping. Nobody told you to go peeking in the windows or to play drop the hanky when you went inside to make sure that I killed Frank Saffron. It was all your own idea.
Yeah, and brilliant. Drop it, Bunker.
Mr. Marlowe, look out, Mr. Marlowe.
You won't get far, Buster, believe me.
Mr. Marlowe, look out, look out. He's hiding over there on the merry-go-round.
All right, Pop.
I know how to get him out of where we...
D'Angelo, get down. Pop, are you all right?
It's all right. That's okay, Mr. Marlowe. Just a scratch. Don't worry about me. Just to get ready for Bunker, because I'm going to go over there next to the switch.
Uh-huh.
He can't hide no more, Mr. Marlowe. I'm going to start at the merry-go-round and make him join us or run. I go now.
Why, you fat old fool!
There, Mr. Marlowe, he's wrong! Stop me!
With pleasure!
My leg! Oh,
that's enough, Marlowe! Not quite, Bunker. You want to make it to our hospital? Fill in the blanks fast. Come on, why did you kill Saffron? Come on!
Okay. I dipped into the till at the club and dummied up the books to cover. He was going to find out about it, so I went to his place to get him.
Bernie got there first, huh?
Yeah. They had a fist fight, and after he left, I went in and...
And to finish him off with your feet, I see that. I went there, Mr. Marlowe, because I was worried about Bernardo. I had to do something.
How did you know that D'Angelo was there, Bunker?
Marlowe, please.
Come on, keep talking.
Well, I heard a noise when I was inside. So I left and doubled back. He was inside then, but I only knew that it was an old man. I didn't know who he was until later when I came back a second time when you were there and saw that handkerchief. It hadn't been there before. Then when you talked about the old man here, I figured that D'Angelo initials could fit him.
Oh! Well. Oh, that's my boy, Bernardo. Bernardo, don't look me.
Hey,
here, Bernardo. Hey. I can better go around. Look, Mr. Marlowe. The girl is with him. They didn't run away, did they?
No, they didn't run away.
That's
it, Mr. D'Angelo. Welcome your boy home.
Mr. Marlowe, it's going to be tomorrow morning before all the policemen are finished talking with my boy and Paula.
That's right.
But after that, everything okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just because you talk smart to do both of them at Bernardo's flat. Just because of what you said.
Well, that and what they were smart enough to do, D'Angelo. I don't think it was easy for them to change their minds and come back to what could have been prison.
No, I guess not. But it's also on account of you that there won't be no prison and there won't be a funeral for me. But, you know, that's what I don't understand, Mr. Marlowe.
What?
When you tell the policeman that you know where to come and find Lou Bunker at my place because of a department store receipt, I get all mixed up.
Hello.
I can... I get off of here, please.
All right, Bob. Well, the receipt was for handkerchiefs monogrammed D.A., Mr. D'Angelo, which were to be sent to you as a gift from your son. That put the idea in my mind that the handkerchief I saw at Frank Saffron's could be yours, not Bernardo's.
Oh, I could see, sir. Well, Mr. Marlowe, we are forever your good friends. Now I say goodbye here.
Hey, wait a minute, Pop. This is miles from your place. I don't mind driving you home.
Oh, no. That's all right. I just want to go around the corner. An old friend of mine is there.
Oh.
I want to tell him all about D'Angelo's good luck. Thank you just the same, Mr. Marlowe. Arrivederci.
I watched him walk away. A quiet old man in a quiet, empty street. A grateful old man. Who at 3 o'clock in the morning had to find his friend and tell him all about the D'Angelo good luck. And then, when he was around the corner and out of sight, I found myself wondering who the old friend could be. But a minute later, when I had driven as far as the corner and could see which way Ambrosio D'Angelo had gone, I knew. It was less than half a block away. The familiar Gothic architecture. Stone, stained glass, and the steeple reaching to the sky. And, yeah, his old friend.
Adventures of Philip Marlowe, bringing you Raymond Chandler's most famous character, star Gerald Moore, and are produced and directed by Norman McDonald. Script is by Robert Mitchell and Gene Levitt. Featured in the cast were Georgia Ellis, Jay Novello, Paul Dubois, Barney Phillips, Ann Morrison, and Vivi Janis. The special music is composed and conducted by Richard Aron. Be sure and be with us next week when Philip Marlowe says...
This time I took a beating from a clever Chinese, ran into a twisted corpse in an alley, and watched death strike on the railroad tracks. All because of an open-toed banjo, which was jinxed from the start.
15, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13.
Well, this is great. Rain, rain, rain. I'll bet even the ducks wouldn't come out in weather like this. But me, I'm an idiot. I gotta go and take up a profession like being a writer. I couldn't take up something easy. Oh, no, not me. I gotta be a writer so I can be out on nice, cold, wet nights. Beating my brains out. Looking for an idea. Idea. Deadline. Oh, sure. Mustn't forget that ever-loving deadline. What a way to make a living. I could have stayed a reporter at the Star-Times and had nice assignments. Like listening to political speeches or covering the opening of a new manhole. Oh, no, but not me. I have to write fiction. Do it the hard way. Well, I might as well take the usual hand, open the usual door to the usual place, and hear the usual comments.
Hi, Mr. Holliday.
Hiya.
Coffee, boy. Hiya, Dan.
What do you say, Ed?
This editor wants you.
How goes it, Holliday?
Oh, pretty good.
Where's the makeup on page 4?
Hi, Mr. Holliday.
How are you?
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
Hello, Susie. Anything in box 13?
Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now for Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
What a character I am. Standing here in front of the want-ad counter in a newspaper office while the rain runs down off my coat collar into my shoes.
Mr. Holliday.
I gotta ruin my last pair of... Huh? What's that, Susie?
I said there's a message in Box 13 for you. Here.
Oh. Thanks, Susie.
Don't mention it. Say, aren't you going to open it?
Sorry. Not here, Susie.
You know, you got all of us down here at the Star-Times awful curious, Mr. Holliday, running that ad.
Have I?
You've been running it for months. Why don't you change it?
Well, I haven't read it for so long, I've forgotten the words. How's it go?
Don't you remember? Adventure wanted. We'll go any place, do anything. How about that?
I still like it.
You'd do a lot better with adventure if you ran your picture with the ad.
Oh, no, thanks. Just keep on running it the way it is.
But, gee, aren't you ever going to tell us what you do for a living while you keep running that ad?
Susie, same old question, same old answer. No. Well, if I'm not doing anything else, at least I've got the people at the Star-Times curious. They'd think my brain cells were 10 feet off first base if they knew why I really run that ad. Maybe they are. You can help a person out of great trouble and gain an adventure for yourself if you call Chester 8945 and ask for Carla Williams. Chester 8945. Sounds like an interesting name. Well, I hope she's home.
Hello?
Oh, this is the man from Box 13.
Oh? Tell me, are you serious or was that ad just a joke?
No joke, Miss Williams.
Are you willing to try anything?
Well, that depends what's on your mind.
I can't discuss it over the phone. Will you meet me?
Of course.
There's a little French restaurant down on Ledge Street. Meet me there in the cocktail lounge.
What time?
Make it 10 o'clock tonight. Tell the bartender you want to speak to Carla Williams.
French restaurant on Ledge, 10 o'clock. What block number?
The 600 block. You won't fail me. You'll be there.
Lady, if it were winter, I'd come with bells on. This sounds like the beginning of a very interesting story. Beautiful woman in distress calls on struggling writer for help. Only she doesn't know I'm a writer, and I don't know she's beautiful. What's yours, mister? Oh, I'm looking for a Carla Williams.
Oh, yeah. She's sitting over there in that front booth.
Thanks. Carla Williams?
Yes.
Oh-ho. Carla Williams could be material for a love story or an adventure story. Or, maybe both.
And, do you have a name?
Oh, yes. Dan Holliday.
I'll sit down.
Oh, thanks.
I'm agreeably surprised. I didn't think a person would get such a satisfactory reply from a want ad.
And I didn't think I'd get such a nice replier.
You're wondering about me, aren't you? You're wondering why you're here.
Naturally.
Well, I'm being blackmailed.
That's a very nasty business.
I've been paying blackmail for 5 years, but tonight's the end. I'm to meet him in 15 minutes and make the final payment and get the letters.
Well, that sounds like the end of your troubles.
But is it? I can't be sure. That's why I need your help.
But what can I do?
Well, you can be there as a witness. You can make sure this is the end. You can see that I get the letters and get away safely.
Lady, you need the police.
Why? To make sure everything I've kept hidden for 5 years comes out in the open?
Maybe a friend could do it.
My friends would be the last ones on earth I'd want to know. Are you afraid?
No.
You advertised for adventure?
Blackmail isn't my idea of adventure.
I'm sorry if my trouble doesn't measure up to your expectations. The best I could do on such short notice.
Uh-oh. Well, I guess I had that coming.
Maybe this isn't your idea of adventure, but I do need help. I need help badly. Let's leave it at that.
Now, that might appeal to my early Boy Scout training.
Then you will.
I always help ladies across blackmail raps. What happens if your friend makes trouble?
We can't make any trouble.
He seems to have done all right for the past 5 years.
There won't be any trouble if you're alone. Here, reach under the table. Take this.
Now, wait a minute. This is a gun.
Put it in your pocket. Don't let anyone see it.
This is supposed to make everything all right?
You won't need it, believe me. I thought it would make you feel better.
It makes me feel like a policeman. And I still think a policeman is what you want.
But you promised.
I said maybe.
I have to meet him in 15 minutes. Please help me.
Where do we go?
His apartment.
Far from here.
We can make it if we leave now. What do you say?
Maybe I should never have been a Boy Scout. Now watch Carla Williams closely as we ride over to the apartment where she's to meet this man she's been talking about. She's perfectly groomed with a certain niceness about her, except for those twin furrows of worry between her eyes and a cold look of anxiety. I don't think I would like to have her angry at me, though.
That's funny. You should have been here 20 minutes ago.
Why don't you try the door?
It was unlocked.
Might as well wait inside. Unless you have any objections.
Not at all. There's a light switch on your right. The living room is straight ahead.
So Say, you sound like you're familiar with the place.
Why not? I've been here many times before.
There's a light on him there. Suppose he might have fallen asleep?
Waiting for his money? Hardly.
Well, this is more like it. This spot is nicely furnished.
With my money. But at least we can sit down and make us... Oh, no!
Miss Williams, what's the matter? What happened?
Look at the floor by the desk. Look.
You stay here.
Well.
You'd better call the police. He's dead.
Dead?
Yeah, he's been shot. Once. Through the heart.
I'm glad.
He's the one? The man who was blackmailing?
Yes. Could you go through his pockets? He must have some of those letters with him. Look in his coat pocket.
Just a minute, Miss Williams. You don't understand. This man has been murdered. You've got to call the police.
Murdered? What makes you so sure?
There's no gun around any place.
Just the same, before the police come, his pockets. Please, I've got to have those letters.
Okay. But it isn't right. Are these what you wanted?
Let me see. Yeah. They're all here.
Now, where's the telephone? We've got to get the police up here and fast.
There is no phone.
No? How do you know without looking, unless...
I told you I've been here before.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Well, go downstairs. There's a payphone in the lobby. Tell the police to come up here right away. Then come back and we'll wait for them.
You're not planning to leave while I'm downstairs, are you?
No. Here's a nickel. Just dial O and tell the operator you want the police. Hurry.
But you'll be here.
Call, I said. I wanted adventure, so I put an ad in a newspaper. And I certainly found what I wanted. Only this isn't good. A man is lying dead on the floor of this apartment. And Carla Williams and I will have to go down to the police headquarters and answer a million questions. All of them embarrassing. I hope she's made the calls. Say, that's funny. Why would there be a telephone directory in a place where there's no phone? Or maybe there is one. Of course, right here in the hallway. I wonder why she said there was no phone here. Maybe it's been disconnected.
Operator. This is the operator.
Oh, fine. I've written a dozen stories like this. And whenever I've reached this point, the hero always finds that he's been framed. Framed? The gun. Yeah, I gotta look at that gun. Gotta find out if it's been fired. One shot has been fired. And the police surgeon will probably find a bullet from this gun in that dead man's body. The police... Seems like little Carla took care of that. Me, I'm going to take care of something else. I'm leaving.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Once again, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, right now I'm wishing I were half as smart as the heroes of some of my stories. I've got a murder, a strange woman, a strange apartment, and a strange feeling that this might not work out to a happy ending. What I need is a cab, a quick trip home, a short drink, and a long, long think.
Sure is a rotten night to be out.
Yeah, it sure is.
Never seen such rain.
Not so good.
Cops are sure busy tonight.
Sounds like it.
Wonder who they're after.
I wouldn't have any idea.
Could be a murderer, you know.
Yeah, just could be.
Just a night for a murder.
Perfect.
How come you got so wet?
It's raining.
I know, but how come?
My umbrella needs recovering.
You want the Normandy Arms?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's your building up ahead, but it looks like you got lots of company.
What do you mean?
Them's prowl cars, mister. All over the place.
Oh, this is very nice. Carla Williams called the police and must have mentioned my name in passing. I'm the type of interesting young fellow that any cop would like to meet. Especially with a murder weapon in my pocket. Tonight, Mr. Holliday, I think you will sleep elsewhere.
Want me to pull right in where all them cops are?
No, they look busy, so maybe we'd better not bother them. Just keep on driving.
But this is where you live, ain't it?
I don't feel like going home tonight.
I could shove them cops aside, you know. This is a legitimate hack.
That would be fun, but don't bother.
You're the boss, mister. Where to?
There's a place down on Franklin Avenue. 1612, I think.
I know that place. That's the cheapest hotel in town.
Yes, I believe it is.
Hey, how do you know about a place like that?
I got information there for a story.
What a joint like that. What are you going there tonight for?
To sleep.
You're writing another story?
I'm living one.
Living one?
Yes, I left my typewriter at home.
Well, Mr. Holliday, to what do we owe this great pleasure?
Maybe you're just lucky.
More research on the seamier side of life?
No, not tonight. I'm looking for a room.
A room? Might I remind you, Mr. Holliday, this ain't the Roney Plaza.
Have you got a room?
Any particular exposure you might like?
The less, the better.
I'm sure we can fix you up. That is, if you're willing to pay in advance.
Buck and a half, how much?
$25, Mr. Holliday.
$25?
And if you committed the murder, it'll be $50, Mr. Holliday.
Come on, talk straight.
I don't want any trouble with the police.
What makes you think I'll cause you trouble with the police?
Little box called the radio, police calls. They're a lot of fun to listen to, Mr. Holliday.
Yeah, I'll bet they are.
You'll be comfortable here and safe.
I'm beginning to wonder if I could afford it.
With your money? Don't make me laugh.
I wasn't trying to. Where's your phone?
The one on the wall costs a nickel.
Thanks.
You're staying tonight, Mr. Holliday?
Sixth and Victor, 10 minutes.
Right.
Follow me, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, where to?
Your room. This ain't the Roney Plaza, but the service is just the same.
I've changed my mind.
You're not staying?
Your rates are too high. I'll drop in again after I've made a fortune. Now I know how the fox feels when the hounds are closing in. Someday I'll have to write a story about a fox. Put that guy Burgess and his Peter Rabbit out of business. Hey, cab!
Oh, it's you again.
Yeah, I get around, don't I?
I thought you were set for the night.
No running ice water. Sixth and Victor.
Where'd you say you wanted to go?
Sixth and Victor.
But there ain't no place to sleep there.
No, I'm not sleepy. I just want to examine a fire hydrant.
Okay, mister. I'm glad it's your money and not mine.
If we keep on, it will be your money.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Say, is that tonight's extra lying up there?
Sure. Want to take a look at it?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
That picture they got of you on the front page is lousy.
What picture?
You look like you was facing the camera through a screen door.
Yeah, let me see that. Well, 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 this is just wonderful. Prominent writer named by police. Carla Williams accuses Dan Holliday of the murder of Harry Granger. Grief-stricken girl witnessed the murder of her fiancé. Well, nice going, Carla. It's your word against mine, plus the evidence against me. Now I know why they wrote that song, I get along without you very well.
Well, there's Six and Victor.
Cruise on by.
You ain't gonna stop?
I haven't made up my mind.
Looks like a couple of cops waiting around for somebody.
That's the way it looks to me.
That might be the law.
Yes, they might be.
What do you want to do now?
Get away from here and find a city directory. A chap by the name of Harry Granger should have a home. And he should have stayed in it. I'm either just ahead of the police or right behind them. And if this game keeps up much longer, I'll be right with them.
Yeah?
Oh, Harry Granger lived here.
He did. You the police?
Well, no, not exactly.
A reporter?
I used to be.
Come here, you. I wonder if you're one of them blackmailers.
Just a minute, friend. My coat rips easy.
No, I guess not. If you were, you wouldn't be here.
Mind if I step in?
Come in, come in. This whole thing's got me all upset.
You don't say. Oh, you said something about a blackmailer.
That's what I'm here for. I came to help Harry get rid of those rats.
You mean he was being blackmailed?
For 5 years. I lent him most of the money to pay off with. I told him he was a sucker, but it looks like I got here too late.
You heard what happened?
Saw it in the papers on my way from the station.
Have you told the police?
Not yet, but I'm going to. Who did you say you were?
I didn't say.
You know something about this?
I think I do now. I began to see the light when the city directory listed this place as Granger's apartment.
Can I help?
You might get into trouble.
Well, how?
Breaking into a woman's apartment. After this, I'll use a fire escape in more of my stories of the most interesting things about a building. After the homicide, we'll be out in the hall seeing that no one comes in here. I have to work fast, Holliday. We'll have to find something that the police weren't looking for. There must be something. Bills, letters, cards, that's no good. Look for the obvious. That's what I always have my hero doing. So what's the obvious? Well, the living room. Now, let's see. That's where the body was. Nothing obvious there. On the desk. No. The table. No. The fireplace. Hello. A small frame snapshot. And I think it might be just what I'm looking for. My old friend, the bartender, and Carla Williams. And with your arms around each other. You know, you two make a nice couple, a wonderful couple. I wonder if they'll let you have your arms around each other in the electric chair.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, I finally made it. I'm down at police headquarters in the office of a tall, gangly character named Lieutenant Kling. Of course, a few things have happened. Carl and the bartender were brought in, too. So much cooler than I am. Oh, those cell bars give you such fine ventilation.
Holliday!
What's that, Lieutenant?
I said you were a very lucky citizen. After what Carla Williams told us, we thought you were guilty.
If she'd have told me that story, I'd have believed it myself. Approving that she and the bartender were married put a crimp in her act as the injured fiancé.
Yeah, you showed it up as the same old racket. Smart woman teams up with smart man to blackmail innocent citizen. But just the same, I think you should stick to your writing and let police work alone.
Lieutenant, I'll have that printed and framed in blonde walnut.
And hang it on the wall?
No, around my neck.
I'm glad to hear you say that. You may not always have a guy like this Grant who backed up your story.
Oh, Granger's friend?
That's the one.
Say, he's a nice fella. Wants me to visit him on his ranch.
Why don't you do that?
Riding the range all day when I could be cooking in town?
Pardon me. Homicide, Lieutenant Kling. Oh, yes, yes, he's here. It's for you, Holliday.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Mr. Holliday, this is Susie.
Yes, Susie.
Can you come down to Star Times right away?
Well, what's the matter?
There's another letter for you in Box 13.
Oh, no, no, no.
Should I open it and read it to you?
Oh, not now, Susie. I've got enough material to last me for a month. 3 weeks of which will be a rest.
Tell me where. Maybe I can come down and help you.
You really want to help me?
Sure I do, Mr. Holliday.
Then put that letter back in Box 13.
But Mr. Holliday...
Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is written and directed by Ted Hediger. Original music composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. This is a Mayfair production.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find a lot more from Philip Marlowe, Box 13, past episodes of this show, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast streams there and our donate button. If you enjoy this and all the shows, would like to help keep them coming every week, give that button a click. Thanks to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk again next Wednesday with another hour of old-time radio crime on Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.